Let's start with our choruses tonight. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Sing this one along if you will. And there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. All right, and as we consider the book of Revelation, it ought to increase our desire and hope for the Lord's return. Turn to Revelation chapter 16, if you would, this evening. Revelation chapter 16. Now we come to the heavy stuff. As if the opening of the bottomless pit in chapter 9 and the seals and the trumpets were not heavy enough, we get now in Revelation chapter 16 to the second half of the tribulation period. 3.5 years have ended. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist has been revealed, and he pursues the destruction of the nation of Israel. The seals have already transpired. The trumpets have already taken place. And as I say that, I'm always reminded, I'm thinking of the controversies that keep coming up over the timing of the rapture. And again, I'm thankful that the book of Revelation lays out the rapture or pictures the rapture in chapter 4 before the tribulation ever begins. There are many today that hold to a mid-tribulation rapture, that in those chapters 10 to 14, somewhere in that span is when the church is brought up to heaven. And by that saying, we have to go through the first seven seals and the first seven trumpets before we're taken out. There are some others, and it's even more confusing. They call it a post-tribulation pre-wrath rapture. And that's confusing just in its presentation, and very confusing when they try to rightly divide the word in those different things, and saying that we get caught out at the end of the tribulation, but before that great final judgment day of God. And of course, the problem with that is they're saying that the seven seals are not the judgment of God, not the wrath of God. And when we study them back in chapter 6, I don't know how you can get away from the wormwood, the star cast down from heaven, making the waters bitter, all these different things. I'm thankful that the Bible very clearly lays out the timeline of God as it has from the very beginning. We've been studying Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy over the past 5 weeks or 6 weeks on Wednesday nights. And we have seen that from the very beginning, God has given us a consistent timeline. Genesis covered 2,300 years. We saw that. Exodus in the 400 years that it covered. And then after that, Leviticus and the 50 days that it covered. Then Numbers and Deuteronomy. And everything's in consecutive order like that. I'm thankful that the book of Revelation gives us such a consecutive order of events so that we can follow the timeline through. God's word is not haphazard. Things are not just thrown together arbitrarily. And the book of Revelation gives us a perfect panoramic view of God's plan for the ages from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22. So tonight we get to chapter 16. Now in chapter 16, it is the seven vials. We've been talking about this and preparing for this. The seven last plagues, the Bible called it. The seven last judgments in the second half of the tribulation period. Now all seven of these vials are all laid out in chapter 16. That's different from everything we've ever. The seals were not all listed in chapter 6. The trumpets were not all listed in chapter 8. But here when we get to the vials, they're all boom, 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 listed one after the other in chapter 16. So we've got seven vials to look at tonight. Now, let me say this, we're not going to get through the whole chapter, all seven vials. So I'm going to try to find the breaking point where we can get out. Although, right before church started, I got a phone call that Cambridge City Schools is on 2-hour delay tomorrow. Yeah. So I get an extra half hour sleep, so we might cover all seven of the seals tonight. We might just go all the way through Revelation 6. I'm kidding. Not about the delay, but about that. So let's look at the, let's begin looking. We'll get through either four or five of them. Number six and seven will take us considerable time, so we'll see how far we get. But Revelation chapter 16, John says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" These seven vials are going to be poured out now, one after the other. Again, the first angel pours out a vial, the second angel pours out a vial, the third angel, in consecutive order, again, which continues this whole theme of Revelation, that everything is done in an orderly and consecutive fashion. And these things that are happening now come afterward, after all the other things that have happened before. The seven angels we saw at the end of chapter 16, coming out of the very presence of God. As the presence of God, as that place is filled with smoke. And these seven angels come pouring out of the throne room of God. And the throne room of God is discontinued from the presence of those that worship Him for this time while these seven vials are poured out. Now, this happens in the second half of the tribulation, the second 3.5-year period. But here's the question, and here's the issue, and I don't know the answer for this. If you do, good for you. And you can share it with us all later. But what I don't know is if these seven vials start right at the second half of the beginning of the second half of the tribulation and one after the other in a period of time. Or many have suggested that these actually come at a pause, that the second half of the tribulation might go through 2.5 or 3 years of things as they were before God at the end of that time begins pouring out these judgments previous to Revelation 17 and 18, which we'll get to. And that they come out just days, maybe 30 days apart, each of these, toward the end of the second half. I don't know exactly when the placement is, but I know this. When they come, and Revelation 16 makes this seem very clear, when they come, it's sudden, one after the other. All seven of them encompassing one chapter in Revelation. No pause, no timeouts, no break between them. So as we look at these seven vials tonight and see them poured out at the end of the tribulation period, these vials are similar to some of the plagues that were on the land of Egypt. We saw that also with the trumpets. These are not the same things as the trumpets. When we see the sea turn to blood and the waters turn bitter, we saw that back with the sounding of the trumpets, but back then, one third. Now in Revelation 16, it's not one third, it's all the waters. It's all the seas. It's everything experiencing this judgment of God. So these are not the same things as the trumpets. These are seven last plagues and greater plagues. And we know that they're literal because the plagues on Egypt and Exodus were literal. They weren't symbolical of something. When he said he turned the Nile to blood, when he said that frogs encompassed the land, that was not symbolic of anything. That were literal plagues that came upon Egypt. So when we get to Revelation 16, again, the tendency is to symbolize everything. Well, what does this really mean? It means what it says. All right, that's the best way to interpret the Bible. It means what it says. And as these seven vials are poured out, they are literal tragedies and judgments and plagues that are to come to this earth. Verse number one, "And I heard a great voice." This is one of five times that this phrase, and we've seen this before, "a great voice," appears in Revelation. We saw it first of all in chapter 1 and verse 10. "I heard a great voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, which said, 'Come up hither.'" The voice as of a trumpet. We saw it in chapter 11 and verse 12 and saw that the great voice came from heaven. We see it here in chapter 16 and verse 1. This great voice comes out of the temple. It's not going to be hard to identify what this great voice is. It's one that called John up in Revelation 4. It's one that came out of heaven in Revelation 11. It's one that comes out of the temple in chapter 16. And even here in chapter 16 and down in verse number 17, the Bible tells us that when the seventh angel pours out his vial, there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne. So identifying this voice is not a difficult thing to do. This is the voice of God. A voice coming out of heaven from the very throne. Chapter 21 and verse number 3, we'll see it one more time later, that this voice comes out of heaven. This is the voice of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, identifying this great voice that comes out. We don't have to speculate or guess as to whose voice this great voice is. It's a voice as of a trumpet from heaven, out of the temple. Out of the temple, from the throne, out of heaven. It is the voice of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the with a great voice. Verse 22, these words the Lord spake, down in the middle of the verse, with a great voice. All right? The Lord's voice is a great voice. It's identified in Deuteronomy 5:22. The words of the Lord spake with a great voice. So this great voice in Revelation 16 and verse 1 is a voice coming out of that temple as the seven angels come out. And as we saw last week, as the seven angels are each handed a vial as they come out to pour their judgments upon the world, these seven angels come out with the seven last plagues that it was called in chapter 15 and verse 1. Great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. The Bible says here in verse number 1, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. We talked about this again last week, but I'll bring it up again. There's no reason, as all the commentators do and all the new Bible versions do, to change the word vial to bowl. They all change it to bowls, the seven bowls of judgment. Like God's wrath has to have a bigger container. It can't simply be a vial. And for those of you that have taken biology in school or chemistry or any of those things, you can get out of a vial something much more potent than you can out of a big bowl. I've not seen many bowls that were equipped to handle the chemicals that go into a vial. I recall, and I've shared this before, when I was one of my summers in Bible college, I was back in Michigan, and the pastor's son got me a job working in this factory that had relocated from Tennessee. And I worked in this factory where the temperature was just enormous, a high degree, and we had these plastic suits on and masks, and we made the chemical sinks for biology and chemistry laboratories. One of the bad jobs I've had in my lifetime. And we worked 5 days a week, 10 hours a day, and then they had to add Saturdays and all that as they had relocated and had a backstock they had to catch up. Then they added Sundays, and that's when it kind of went too far for me. But making those special laboratory bowls for that thing. But these little vials were equipped for the wrath of God. And as we saw last week, taking the wrath of God mingled with the prayers of the saints, the odors of the prayers of the saints, the prayers for vengeance. How long, O Lord, till thou pour judgment out upon the earth and them that have persecuted us? When God's wrath is mingled with the prayers of the saints, that vial smokes over from the top, and the seven angels come one at a time and pour them upon the earth. When the first angel comes in verse number 2, the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image. Here's our outline. Number 1, the first vial poured out. And of course, the 7 points of this chapter, the first vial, the second vial, the third vial, the fourth vial, the fifth vial, the sixth, the seventh, all in this chapter. But the first vial poured out, and that is the sores. Verse number 1 and 2. The sores. The Bible says in verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial. Again, consecutive order as these angels pour out these things. And it says, and they caught, and in verse 2, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. This is similar to the 6th plague in Egypt. You remember back in Exodus chapter 9 as the plagues were poured out. That the plague was poured out, and all the men were covered with sores, kind of like Job by the hand of the devil. Well, all the men back in this plague in Egypt were covered from sores. And here the Bible says, just like that plague, back then they were stricken with boils, was what the sores were. Here, it's the same thing. A noisome and grievous sore is poured out upon all them that had received the mark of the beast. The word noisome. When I look at it, I think, well, that's obviously where that's the word noise is in the front. That means they're crying out. They're in agony. But I find out that's not the meaning of the word noisome. It's always good to double check ourselves when we make an assumption. And according to Webster's Dictionary, which is the closest one to the time of the translating of our Bible, the word noisome means noxious to health. That's what noisome means. Noxious to health. Hurtful. Mischievous. That's what a noisome sore is. It's noxious to health. All right? It pollutes. It corrupts your very being. And here is a noisome and grievous sore that's poured upon the men which did not have the mark of the beast, which had the mark of the beast, which worshipped his image. Those who thought that the mark would protect them, and it did for a period of time, they could buy and they could sell. They were free from the wrath of the Antichrist because they took the mark in their forehead or in their right hand. But now when God's vial is poured out, those that thought they were protected by the mark are now instead, can we say this maybe, infected by the mark? The Bible says when this vial is poured out, that a noisome and grievous sore came upon all them who had received the mark of the beast. Now, this is not in the Bible. This is just conjecture, and we're free to do that to a certain degree. But I wonder if the very mark itself is the source of the grievous, of the noisome and grievous sore. All those that took the mark in their forehead, took the mark in their hand. Could it be, and I don't know this, the vial is poured out. Maybe when the vial is poured out, there's a reaction in all those that have received that mark. And from that very mark, these boils begin to break out so that God can indicate the judgment is connected to them receiving that mark. The Bible does not say that. The Bible does not teach us that. It simply says that they that had the mark of the beast, which worshipped his image, now we're smitten at the pouring out of the first vial with all these sores. Verse number 3. In just one verse, we see the second vial, and that is the sea. Verse 1 and 2, the first vial, the sores. Verse number 3, the second vial, the sea. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. You'll notice the first one said, the first angel poured out his vial upon the earth. The second one poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Again, when the trumpet sounded, when that second trumpet sounded back in chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, 1/3 of all those in the sea were killed. But now with this second vial, God's judgments are more severe. God's judgments are more grievous. And all that are in the sea died. The sea became as the blood of a dead man. Not as the blood of a living person, but as of the blood of a dead man. You know what the blood of a dead man, it's already congealed. The blood of a dead man has already reached the air, the oxygen that's settled in on it, and it becomes repugnant to the smell. And it becomes very offensive in its odor. And the Bible says that the seas were turned into that kind of blood. Think about this. When waters are turned to blood, it's bad enough to look and see them red. But think, it's the blood as of the blood of a dead man, like it's been sitting for a while, and the odor and the smell are going to be horrendous as God pours out His judgment in this second vial upon the earth. Isn't it interesting? Look down at chapter 16. Look at verse 6. Getting ahead of ourselves, but down in verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Isn't it interesting that those that were so thirsty for blood, God repays them in kind. Those that were so desirous of the blood of the saints and the blood of the prophets, God says, you want blood? All right. And in this second vial being poured out on the earth, all the seas become as of a stagnant, repulsive, repugnant smell. as they all turn to blood, and then everything in the sea dies. Not just the creatures of the sea, but the sailors and those in the islands, those surrounded by water. Right now we look at those scenes. Last night at Christmas time, we went on the YouTube, I think it was, and got a picture of a fireplace. We don't have a fireplace. We got a big full screen picture of a fireplace and we put it up and it had the crackling sound going with it. We put it on top of the piano and sat around the living room enjoying the fireplace and the sound of it. Well, last night I said, you know what I want now? I want the ocean. And so I went on there and found the ocean with the waves rolling in and that beautiful sound, and you could just relax and enjoy that. Well, that's the islands of the sea right now are a desirous place. Everybody wants to go, take a cruise, go down to those places. In that day, nobody wants to go there. They're surrounded by the seas. They're surrounded by waters that now have all been turned to this repugnant blood, this smell, this terrible thing. And everything in the seas and everything around them dies when the second vial is poured out. God is putting His judgment upon this earth that has rejected Him. The first vial, the sores. The second vial, the sea. Then we come to the third vial in verse 4 down through verse 7. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. Let's call this the third vial poured out, the source. And that is the source of the waters. Not just the seas, but now inland. Now the waters that run, according to the Bible, the rivers run to the sea, and yet it is never full. Alright, the seas have turned to blood, and now we're looking at the source of that, the fountains of waters. And the Bible says when this third angel poured out his vial in verse 4, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say in verse 5, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink. Alright, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. God says, I'll give you blood. You wanted blood? I'll give you blood. For they are worthy, verse 7. And I heard another voice out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. After the waters of the sea are turned to blood, the source of the waters is turned to blood also. The waters of the sea affect those upon the coastlines and in the islands of the sea. But here now the rivers and the fountains affect all of those that are inland. There's not many places you can go where there's not rivers and lakes and streams and creeks. And all of those are going to be affected now when this third angel pours out his vial. The rivers of fountains of water became blood. Again, literally just like the first plague of Egypt in Exodus chapter 7. Nothing symbolic about it. Nothing difficult or hard to understand. God is pouring out His wrath upon the earth. Again, this is similar to the third trumpet back in Revelation 8 and verse 10, but there only one third of the rivers and fountains were affected. Here all of the waters are affected. It said in verse 5, And I heard the angel of the waters. There's an unusual phrase. The angel of the waters. It appears in the Bible that there are angels responsible for all the acts of nature. There is no mother nature. Nature does not act on its own. Now the devil is often given permission to do acts of nature. We read back in the book of Job that when the devil was given permission to trouble Job but not touch his body, he caused a great wind to come and knock down the building in which his children were meeting and celebrating in. So the devil from time to time is given, and the challenge for you and I sometimes when we look at what we call natural calamities is to look and see whether it's the hand of God or the permissive hand of God allowing the devil to do so. Is it the direct judgment of God or the permissive hand of God through the devil? We have to discern these different things. And when we look at Katrina, and we look at the hurricanes, and we look at the devastation, we understand that's not just a natural act of the earth. Again, there are some today that would tell us that all of these things are a result of global warming. That man-made disaster is causing all these, the earth to shift and the sea bottoms to move and all that kind of stuff. And I have no doubt that as man, that we are affecting our climate. I have no doubt we're doing that. But we're not worried about the nature destroying, being destroyed because of our actions. It's going to be by the hand of God. And here an angel is the angel of the waters. Remember there were four angels in the great river Euphrates? There are angels that gathered the people together. So the angels have specific tasks and responsibilities. And here's an angel of the waters, that one which is responsible for guarding and protecting the fountains of water. And you would think that the one that's responsible for guarding the fountains of water would say, Lord, you've given me 6,000 years to protect these, and I protected it and made sure that they're still working and still going, and now all of a sudden you're turning it all to blood. But that's not the reaction that the angel has. What does the angel say? He says, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. What do the angels do when that which they have been entrusted in protecting is now affected by the vials? They give honor and glory to God. The third vial is being poured out. Thou art righteous, O Lord, because Thou hast judged thus. Heaven declares the righteousness of God. Heaven testifies of the righteousness of God. God is righteous in all His acts. Many times as humans, we don't understand it. The natural disasters that take place. The things, the earthquakes and all those, we don't understand it. But God is righteous in all His acts. Thou art righteous, O Lord, because Thou hast judged thus. Heaven is going to praise God even in the time of His judgment. But what are those on earth doing? And we'll see this in Revelation 6. They're blaspheming. They're cursing God. They're shaking their fist at God when the vials are poured out. Thou art righteous, O Lord, because Thou hast judged thus, which art and wast and shalt be. We've seen this back in chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 4, and verse 8. God's eternity. Thou which art and wast and shalt be. Verse number 6, for they have shed the blood of saints. That's the tribulation saints. That's those that have not taken the mark. Again, these are the ones that have taken the mark that get affected with the boils. They think they're safe and protected. They have slaughtered, they have martyred, they have killed those that wouldn't take the mark, and they think that they're victorious. And they've slain, they've caused the blood of the saints to be poured out. But now when these plagues happen, they are smitten with the sores. The earth they live in is polluted by these different things. But the tribulation saints, bless God, are up in heaven giving Him praise and honor and glory and worship. They're no longer suffering. They're no longer in pain. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Who are the prophets? The two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. The two prophets that were in Jerusalem proclaiming during the first half of the tribulation. Then when the Antichrist rose up, He had them slain. They thought they were victorious, and their dead bodies laid in the streets for 3 days before God resurrected them. They rejoiced and sent presents one to another. They celebrated the death of the tribulation saints. They celebrated the death of the prophets. And now the angels of heaven say, Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That's what they're worthy of. They're worthy of the blood to drink. Verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty. Again, we've seen that phrase 5 times in the book of Revelation. This is the middle of the five, or this is the fourth of the 5 times. But we've seen this phrase. It's distinctly in Revelation. Lord God Almighty. For true and righteous are Thy judgments. God is righteous in all His ways, whether in grace or whether in judgment. God is always righteous. Verse number 8 and 9, the fourth vial poured out. The fourth vial poured out, verse 8 and 9, the sores, the sea, the sources, and now the sun. Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 and 9, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. God's final judgments are now reaching the earth, the seas, the fountains of waters, and now the sky. God's judgment is going to be thorough. All this world is going to be burned up, and God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. We'll get to that later in Revelation when we get to chapter 21. But there's much debate in Scripture over whether this one planet is actually just regenerated and fire that purifies it, makes it over again, or whether it's a brand new earth, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But here we find God's judgment upon this earth. He's finally fed up. All creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And God is going to just judge everything. When the contents of the vial come in contact with the inhabitants of the earth, it produced sores. When the contents of the vial came into contact with the sea, the rivers, and fountains of waters, they became blood. When the contents of this vial come into contact with the sun, its power is intensified and it scorches men with heat. Have you ever been to one of those places where the sun just seems uncontrolled? We think of the deserts. We think of those places. We have seen, even in Ohio, we've seen days in the summertime that are just so intensely hot that you can hardly stand to go out and stand in the sun. I remember working construction many years ago, working on roofs, tearing old roofs off in the middle of summer. We would start right when it got light in the morning and work till about 2 p.m. because you couldn't be up there on a roof at that late in the day, in the afternoon. That's in Ohio. It doesn't get that hot here. And imagine when the sun is, the contents of this vial hits the sun, and the Bible says that angel is given power to scorch men with heat. We have no idea of what that scorching is going to be like. No one has experienced that. That power of the sun coming down when the contents of that vial reached the sun. When the fourth trumpet sounded, the sun's power was diminished by one third, all right? That's, again, comparing these to the trumpets are an indication they're not the same thing as the trumpets. The seals and the trumpets happened in the first half of the tribulation. The vials now in the second half, they're not the same thing. Again, many teach that these three things are a retelling of each of these events. But these seven last plagues and this sun being turned up, I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar getting so upset that they wouldn't bow that he said, heat the furnace seven times hotter than it wants to be heated. And as they threw those three men in, the men that threw them in were killed and scorched by the fire. That's the scorching that God's going to put on the earth during that time of the tribulation. And the men were scorched with great heat, verse 9, and blaspheme the name of God. The result of God's judgment is that they continue to blaspheme. Instead of repenting, and we see this over and over again in the tribulation, instead of repenting, they shake their fist at God. They blasphemed the name of God. When the beast made fire fall down from heaven, back in chapter 13, and verse 13, in Revelation 13:13, the beast made fire to fall down from heaven. You know what that caused them to do? It caused all the earth to worship him. Now God causes the sun to be scorching, and what do? They blaspheme Him. They blaspheme the name of God, and repented not to give Him glory. Suffering alone does not lead to repentance. Say, why doesn't God in this day, why doesn't He in this age of grace just put the screws to everybody? Why didn't He just strike people with this or that and get them to recognize that He is? Well, as we saw this morning, God has chosen four ways to reveal Himself to us, and none of those ways include suffering. None of those ways include judgment, because judgment doesn't cause people to come to God. It causes them to harden their hearts against Him. They repented not to give Him glory. It says in verse number 9, they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. Notice this. They know where the plagues are coming from. They know who's causing these plagues to come. They're coming from God. The people on earth recognize that. There will not be an atheist in the tribulation period. He said, what do you mean, preacher? They're all going to heaven. No, they're not going to heaven. There will be no atheist. Everybody will recognize the source of the judgment. It's coming from God. You remember back in chapter 6? Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They know the source of the judgment. And I said this again this morning, the majority of those, 9 out of every 10 or more than that, of those that claim that they believe that there's no God, are lying to you when they say it. They're just trying to make an excuse. They're trying to sound intellectual or smart. But they know there's a God, and here in the tribulation, they blaspheme the name of God which hath power over these plagues. The fourth vial poured out upon the sun. We'll get one more here this evening. Number 5, verse 10 and 11. The fifth seal poured out. God is slowly working His way toward the seat of power in the tribulation period. He's stricken the men with sores. He's stricken the seas with blood. He's stricken the sources now and turned them into blood. And then He reaches to the sun, to the skies, and corrupts it. Now, in verse 10 and 11, notice, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon, notice this, the seat of the beast. The first angel upon the earth. The second angel upon the seas. The third angel upon the sun. The fourth angel, or the fifth angel now, upon the seat of the beast. The fifth angel pours out his vial on the seat. Verse 10 and 11. Finally, the judgment of God reaches the seat of the beast. After the sun scorches them with heat, and think about this also. After the sun scorches them with heat, now it says in verse number 16, and his kingdom was full of darkness. I think this. The sun is extinguished. The sun is put out. You remember that back in Joel chapter 2? Where the sun will be darkened in that great day of the Lord. That's what we're talking about now. Peter kind of quoted that out of context. Can we say that in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost? He thought that that was happening right then, that great day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Ghost was the fulfillment of Joel, but it wasn't. This is the fulfillment of Joel as the sun is darkened. But I don't read that the heat goes away. I don't read that the scorching humidity and heat is gone. I remember when we first went to Micronesia as missionaries, we flew to Hawaii. Everything was fine when we got to Hawaii. 70, 80 degrees out, humidity's great. Then we got on that plane and flew on to the Micronesian islands and we got to Panape and they opened. You don't walk into a terminal out on those islands. You walk out down a stairway down on the tarmac and then walk into this little hut that's a receiving center. And as we got there, and as we got to the door and they opened up the doors for us to go out there, it was like a suffocating humidity that hit us right then. The 90 to 100% humidity with 100 degree temperatures just kind of sucked everything right out of you. It took a long time. I'm not sure with 7 years, I'm not sure I ever got used to it, but it takes a long time to adapt to that. All right, here, the sun's got the scorching heat. Now it's turned to darkness, but I'm not sure the heat goes away. The rivers are still blood. The sea is still blood. The sores have stricken the men. Those things don't, it's not this one and then it disappears and the second one comes and no, they're in consecutive order, one upon the other. And here when that thing is turned to darkness, as much like the ninth plague in Egypt, when darkness was over the land. And the result of the judgment of God in verse number 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. You get that great temperature and heat and your body core, the temperature of your body core goes up. And when the temperature of your body core increases, your organs swell from the heat. All right? Heat makes things swell. Cold makes things retract. And that extreme heat that comes from the scorching of the sun, and now though the lights are turned out, the heat is still there, and their tongues, their very tongues in their mouth are inflamed, are enlarged from that heat. And they have nothing to drink because all the fountains of water have been turned to blood. The great suffering of that time, and they gnawed their tongues in pain. The intense heat, which caused their tongues to swell as they sit in darkness now, with no water or relief. And it says in verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven with a swelled tongue in their mouth, with no water to quench their thirst. They still are shaking their fist at God. The world is adamant in its rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To their hurt, they add hate. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pains and their sores. Again, judgment does not bring repentance. Judgment does not bring repentance. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores. And then the last words of verse number 11, and repented not of their deeds. Though they recognize God as the God of heaven, they do not repent. Now get that. Though they acknowledge God as the God of heaven, they do not repent. We have a problem in our day. Without the judgments of God, without the vials, there are a lot that acknowledge God, but have never repented. And they think they're going to get to heaven when they die. Acknowledging God is not enough. Remember, we talked about God's revelation this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. That's great. God's revealed Himself, but that revelation isn't enough to get people to heaven. An acknowledgement of God, believing that God is not enough to get to heaven. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. And here are men seeing the great judgments of God and the five vials poured out on top of all that they have seen. Those that have existed to this point, have lasted to this point, have seen so much of the judgment of God, but instead of repenting, they blaspheme the God of heaven and repent not of their deeds. Next week we'll move on to the final two vials in the book of Revelation, the sixth vial poured out upon the stream, the seventh vial poured out and the stones. We'll look at these ending things of the great tribulation before the fall of Babylon in chapter 17 and 18. Let's all stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank you for